Please turn to 2 Samuel chapter 19 and follow as I read verses 24 to 40. On Sunday evenings, we've been studying the life of David and the section of his life that will hold our attention is found in 2 Samuel 19, beginning at verse 24. After the rebellion of Absalom, David has come to the Jordan River. He has just crossed the Jordan. He has had an interview with Shimei, who slandered and cursed him openly when he left Jerusalem. And now he has other interviews beginning at verse 24 in 2 Samuel 19. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? The king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogelim, and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. And he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And his name means steel or strong. And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live? The king said unto Barzillai, Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city, and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, apparently a son or a grandson, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him. And he returned unto his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. Now this brief period in David's life at Absalom's rebellion is recorded with remarkable fullness. You remember when David was tragically exiled from Jerusalem that almost every step of the way in leaving his capital was recorded for us in every interview that he had with people. Now that the battle is won and Absalom is dead, again, almost everything that happened and everyone that he spoke to is recorded in the Word of God for our prophet. Mephibosheth came to the great king. After Shimei's urgent plea for grace, he was the next one to speak to the king. This crippled son of Saul, who had been fed for years at the table of David in Jerusalem. And he made a rather striking appearance, as we see in verse 24, for he had not washed his clothes or trimmed his beard or even cleaned his feet for all of the days that David was gone from Jerusalem. It was apparent that he really did mourn the absence of David from Jerusalem. But the king asked the obvious question of Mephibosheth, "Why didn't you come with me? I did so much for you. Other people were faithful with me. Other people left with me when I went out of Jerusalem. Why didn't you go with me?" And now the unfortunate cripple tells his side of the story. You remember how David had heard the other side of the story when he was leaving Jerusalem, when the servant of Mephibosheth said that Mephibosheth was really looking for advancement for the household of Saul and for himself now that David was being chased out of the capital. Ziba and his servants with him had already met David on the way back. They were the ones to whom David had given the entire estate of Mephibosheth and of Saul. And they had met him with the ferry to bring him across the Jordan. And now Mephibosheth comes in this humble posture. And he brings his story that Ziba had disobeyed Mephibosheth, their master. That he had commanded that a beast be made ready so that he could go to David, but the servant never obeyed the orders. And instead, the servant took all of the animals, and he himself went to David and slandered his master. And David had given this servant, who had been disobedient and slanderous and a liar, he had given him his entire estate. Well, as you see in verse 29, David is a bit irritated with this. "Why do you speak any more of your matters?" It's very irritating to David that this conflict between Ziba and Mephibosheth should keep coming before him. It's like two little children in the household who are quarreling, and they keep coming to Daddy to get the thing settled and get it all straightened out. And David says, "Why do you keep bringing up these private matters between you and Ziba?" And I think there's another reason for his irritation, because the presence of Mephibosheth and the words of Mephibosheth painted up a dire mistake that David had made when he was fleeing from Jerusalem. Ziba, a servant, came with a report about Mephibosheth. And without waiting to hear the other side of the story, David made his decision. And he believed Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, and took his entire estate away from him and gave it to the servant. David, you see, is guilty of what it says in Proverbs chapter 18. You might turn there for a moment. In Proverbs 18 and verse 13, we read, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and a shame unto him." David had made a decision before he even heard the whole matter. He never even heard both sides of the story. He only heard one side of the story, and his mind was made up, and here's the great king coming back, and it's a folly to him. But he didn't even know what Mephibosheth's side of the story was. But let's not be too hard on David, because that happens to parents all the time. And it happens to teachers all the time. And it happens to every Christian all the time. When children fight, when families feud, when churches have people in them that fuss at one another, isn't it true that usually the first person who happens to come to you and tell his side of the story, when you've never even heard the other side of the story, you tend to believe him? And you become suspicious of the person who didn't come and say anything to you. And especially if that person has done something wonderful for you, like Ziba, who came with all of the gifts for the king. He was doing favors to David. Ziba's the first one to bring the ferry boat to bring David and his army across the Jordan River. This is a man who does a lot for David. And what did Mephibosheth ever do for him? And he tends to believe the one that is very close to him. And isn't that true of you? If your son, your daughter gets in a scrap with somebody, and you've never even heard what that other person has said about the story, you tend to believe what you've heard from your children without ever hearing the other side of it. The same is true in church feuds, in family fights, with among children and among adults. David was hasty. He was partial. He was even personally involved. And the two men, you see, both Ziba and Mephibosheth, they both came to pledge loyalty to David. And whose word is he going to believe now? The only people who were there were Ziba and Mephibosheth. Who was telling the truth? Who was telling a lie? There's no neutral witness. There's no way to tell. Oh, it's hard to be honest and just in dealings between two individuals. And now David really doesn't know who was telling the truth. What Mephibosheth said in verse 27, look at that. Mephibosheth said, "My Lord, the king, is as an angel of God." That's exactly what was not true of David. David was not like an angel of God that could look into the hearts of men. He had no idea who was telling the truth. Now what's David going to do? Is Ziba telling the truth? Is Mephibosheth telling the truth? What's David to do? Is he supposed to become a permanent Sherlock Holmes and involve himself in investigating both sides of the question and questioning people and trying to find witnesses and scurrying around to find out who's right or who's wrong? He didn't have time for that. This little petty dispute between Ziba and Mephibosheth, the king said, "Don't bother me with your matters anymore. I can't tell who's right and who's wrong. Divide the kingdom between you. You take half and Ziba take half." Brethren, we are not gods. And we cannot get to the bottom of all of the quarrels that men have among themselves. And we ought to be very careful about siding with people who come to us with a story when we haven't heard the other side. We ought to be fair enough to say when we've heard both sides, we still don't know who's right and who's wrong. It was Ziba's word against Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth against Ziba. Nobody else was there. And David was not an angel, and he was not God, and he couldn't tell who was telling the truth. But do you see the other lesson that's involved in this? This chapter in the history of Mephibosheth and Ziba is forever closed. And you don't know for sure to this day who was telling the truth. Did Ziba deceive his master and steal half of his kingdom? Or did Mephibosheth lie and get himself out of a tight spot? Who was telling the truth? You don't know. And the reputation of both men is called in question to this day if you just look at the account. And we don't know who's true and who's false. And so, the case is forever twisted in the eyes of men. But God knows. God knows who's right. And in the end, He will make it plain. But do you see that neither man had satisfaction in this world? And neither man received justice? You ought to learn something from that. And that is that you cannot demand that people know the truth and decide that you are right and another person who was in a dispute with you was wrong, even if you were right, even if they were wrong. When you are put through the pain of the impossibility of being vindicated, your word against someone else's word, his word against yours, and who can ever tell? The two of you know, God knows, but nobody else does. And those things happen. You may get people to side with you, but they really don't know. And when you're dead sure that you're right and that the other man is wrong, remember that even David was a mere man and not a god, and he couldn't vindicate either one. However, we're going to move on from Mephibosheth and Ziba and the irritations that David felt because he really couldn't solve it, and he probably did judge too hastily, and he really didn't know. And we want to focus the majority of our time this evening on the wonderful figure of Barzillai, beginning at verse 31. Barzillai came to meet David. And I'm glad Barzillai mounted his horse and rode from Rogelim to the Jordan River to usher David into his kingdom once more. And I'm glad the Spirit of God has recorded for us this incident, this interview between Barzillai and David. I'd like you to notice that Barzillai was 80 years old. And if you're 80 years old, I'm sure you won't be offended by the fact that it says here that he was very old. For anyone who's lived to be 80 years realizes he is very old. He is going to teach us some very valuable lessons this evening. His discussion with David paints a picture of the elderly and the godly man, the elderly and the godly woman as well. So from Barzillai, let's learn, first of all, the psychology of the elderly. Psychology, the state of mind, the attitude, the inward frame of mind and personality of the elderly. And by elderly, I mean the very old, like 80 years old. And if you're a few years on one side or the other, you can judge for yourself whether you're in the category. As we look at this, it should serve two purposes for us. All of us who are younger, from the children who are here to those who are still younger than 80 years of age, should gain some understanding of the very aged who live among us. And we should have some of our attitudes toward them change and gain a respect and a certain sympathy for what they are bearing with in their age. And for those of you who are in the age category of Barzillai, you ought to be encouraged to see that if you share some of the attitudes of Barzillai, that your attitudes are not abnormal. That some of the things you experience in your thoughts and in your attitudes from day to day are very common with godly men of the past who loved God and walked with Him. In the psychology of Barzillai and of all of the very elderly, you will notice that there comes with age an inability to enjoy life. An inability to enjoy life. By which, I don't mean that there's no joy of the Lord in the heart of such people who know God and walk with Him. But all of the senses are dulled in the very aged. They are deadened so that the things of this world that appeal to the senses in younger people can no longer be enjoyed. And I think younger people don't realize that. Younger people always speak, if they find some exception to the rule, of a very elderly person who is still apparently full of loving the things that are sensual in the world, they say, "Wow, he stayed very young. Isn't that wonderful?" And they kind of look at the other old people who just don't enjoy the things of this life anymore as if, somehow, if we could just cheer them up a bit and get them interested again in the good things of life that we all enjoy, wouldn't that be wonderful for him? No, you don't understand the elderly when they have lost their enjoyment for the things of this world. You'll notice in verse 35 how Barzillai puts it when David says, "Come on back to the court with me." The king says, "I'm going to take you to the court at Jerusalem." And in verse 35, Barzillai said, "I'm 80 years old, and I can't even discern between good and evil." What do you mean you can't discern between good and evil? "I can't taste what I eat anymore. I can't taste what I drink. I couldn't tell you whether it's sweet or sour. And hearing music, the voice of singing men and singing women, I can't tell you when they're flat or when they're on key. My hearing is growing dim." You see that his senses, and the senses of the very elderly often, the sense of seeing, the senses that enjoy the things of this world, have been dimmed and deadened. David said, "Return to the court in Jerusalem." And Barzillai says, "What is there at the court for a man who can't taste or hear or see? I can't enjoy the things of this world. I can't enjoy the food or the music." David must not be surprised if he no longer desires the festivities, for he can't sense the things of this earth. that younger people enjoy. The gates of the senses are closing by degrees, and now they open just a little bit. Oh, what that ought to teach the people who live for the things of this world. If you live to be 80 years old or more, the gates of your senses will close so that the very things that delight you now will no longer delight you or bring you any joy or enjoyment. Barzillai is not morose about this, however, and he doesn't begrudge younger people enjoying these things. He even begs David, take my grandson or my son, Chimham, take him along with you. Let him enjoy it. I can't enjoy it anymore. There comes with old age an inability to enjoy the things of this life. There comes with old age a feeling that one is a burden to others. Look at that in verse 35. He said, why should your servant be a burden to my lord the king? I'm a burden to other people. That was Barzillai's feeling in his heart. How could he keep up with David in riding? An 80-year-old man keep up with the army, riding from the Jordan to Jerusalem? It was amazing that he got from Rogelim to the Jordan on a horse. He couldn't keep up. If he was going to be part of the celebration of David's second coronation, in effect, if he was going to be part of it, everything would have to be toned down to include him. And he didn't want that. He didn't want everything adjusted down to the place where he could be part of it. He had no desire to be there in the first place. He wouldn't enjoy the things that were going on. There comes with old age an inability to enjoy life through the senses, a feeling that one is a burden to others. There comes a desire to stay in one's place. You see that in verse 37. Let your servant, I pray you, turn back again. I want to be in my own city. I want to be at my own house. I don't want to be far away from the place where I belong. Not far away from my business, not far away from the one place where I feel at home. There's a peculiar comfort there for the aged. And we must not be irritated when the elderly don't have wanderlust anymore, don't want to go on journeys, don't want to go far away from the place which is theirs. Then there comes to the godly in old age a readiness to die. And here there's probably a contrast with those who don't fear God when they grow old. And it's a sad thing to see sometimes when you visit those who are elderly and have not known the Lord, that they're really in the midst of sorrow and trying somehow desperately to hold on to the things of this world even when they can't enjoy them anymore, and wishing that they could, clinging to some little bauble, to some little trinket, to some little piece of property, to some riches, to a bank account, to this or to that, to some little certificate of fame that they won from men. When a man or a woman reaches 80 years of age, he ought to speak more freely of death. And Barzillai does that. He says in verse 37, I want to go back home because that's where I want to die. I've already thought about my death, and I want to be home when I die. And I know where I want to be buried. You who are younger, when you speak to old people, does it disturb you when they start talking about when they die and where they'd like to die and how they'd like to die and where they want to be buried? Does that disturb you? Oh, no, don't talk about that. We hope you live for many more years. Barzillai said to David, verse 34, how long do I have to live? Look, I'm 80 years old. Let's face the fact. I'm 80 years old. There are only a few days left. When I was born, there were years ahead. Now I'm 80. There have to be only days left. And that man is insane. That woman is insane who comes to 80 years of age and doesn't even think about death. No, the godly are ready to die and ready to depart from this world. And we shouldn't be disturbed when they said, I've thought about it, and I'm ready to leave this life. And it ought to be an increasing thing with a man of God to say, I prefer to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And that's in effect what Barzillai was saying. He was ready to leave this world. That's something of the psychology of the elderly. The inability to enjoy the things of life. The feeling of being a burden to others. The desire to stay in one's place and to the godly a readiness to die in thinking about the crossing of that Jordan River. You ought to read a little more carefully maybe the end of the second part of Pilgrim's Progress, where the travelers have reached Beulah Land and they're just sitting by that final river that they have to cross and waiting for the messenger to come to them with the sure tokens that it's their turn to leave this world and go over into the celestial city. There's a truth to that for the elderly who love God. That's the psychology of the elderly. Barzillai also shows us something of the preparations of the elderly. He still had some earthly affairs to take care of, and he gave some careful attention to them. He still was interested in helping his family, and that's why he said to David, "Take care of Kimham, my son, my grandson, whoever he was. You take care of Kimham." Barzillai was still taking care of him. And he knew where he wanted to be buried. And he talked about that while he had a chance to make the choice and not leave it to other people. And the older a person becomes, the more important it is to set his household in order and to manage his own affairs before the Lord sends the final messenger to summon him into the celestial city. But then you have to see also the usefulness of the elderly to this world. And that's an important message from Barzillai. The usefulness of the elderly to this world. And before we look at Barzillai in particular, turn to Psalm 92. And just read a few verses of one of God's promises to the Christian, to the godly person, a promise for old age. In Psalm 92, verses 12 to 14. Psalm 92 and verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Spiritually, they will be fat and flourishing in their old years. Those people who love God and are planted in the courts of his house. When David was sent into exile with nothing but the shirt on his back, Barzillai saw an opportunity to do good to a servant of God, and the important thing to see is that 80-year-old Barzillai did it. He didn't say, oh, and you see this very psychology of the elderly can get in the way of still serving God. And you can say, oh, well, what could I do? He saw an opportunity to do something for David and for the anointed of the Lord, and he did it. He actually did it. And when David triumphed over Absalom, he was ready to return in victory to Jerusalem, David was, and Barzillai saw an opportunity to honor the anointed of the Lord and to honor the cause of the Lord by going to the Jordan, and he did it. And it must have cost him something to travel on that journey as an 80-year-old man. But he did it. He went out and rode to the Jordan River and honored the king. He did not allow his sense of weakness and burdensomeness interfere with doing something. Now look at verse 36. He thought that what he did was very little. He said, well, your servant will go over the Jordan with the king, and I'll go a little way, but why should you reward me with such a great thing as taking me to the courts for such a little thing as going over the river with you? That's almost nothing. And I'm sure Barzillai thought that. He couldn't take his sword out anymore and fight for David against Absalom and his army. But he did what he could. He would have been too much of a burden to ride to Jerusalem. But he did what he could. He went a little way with the king, and he went the way he was able to go according to his age. He couldn't enjoy the festivities, but he would do his part so long as God gave him a breath and an hour of life. It seemed to him like nothing, but he was there. He was there, and that meant something to David. And David appreciated the effort of Barzillai in even coming. It meant so much to the king that this elderly great man was present. A man who was loyal to his kingdom at 80 years of age. You see, when we see gray heads in the assembly who regularly attend the public worship of God and honor the name of Jesus Christ by being present when he is worshiped and when his word is being opened, that does mean something. Some of the young bucks can't make it to the regular meetings of the church because they get a little ache here or a little pain there. But some of the elderly who are 80 years old, whose very movement is a burden to them and takes a supreme effort, will not miss being present when the king is being honored. And that means a great deal. To overcome weakness and to expend the energy just to come to the Jordan and to honor David and to honor the God of David, that meant something. Just to come in the name of Jesus Christ where his people gather and to honor the name of God, that does mean something. And young people, maybe you don't appreciate it enough, especially when you think how easy it is for you to miss being present on such occasions. Barzillai thought of himself as a burden to David and the whole court, but it wasn't so. To the contrary, Barzillai was serving a very important purpose in being present at the Jordan River. For David would soon ride triumphantly up to Jerusalem. Barzillai would be left behind. But when David got to Jerusalem, 60-year-old David would realize, in 20 years I'm going to be Barzillai. And he would be a bit more sober in the midst of the festivities. Do you know that some of the ancient heathen kings used to hire somebody to come to them every time they sat down at a feast and remind them, someday you're going to die? Because they didn't want to get lost in the festivities of their own court. Imagine what that would do to a king. Every time he sat down with wine in front of him, with a feast before him, to have somebody come up and tap him on the shoulder and say, someday you're going to die. And heathen kings used to do that to make them sober. Well, God had appointed Barzillai to come and remind David that this life is a very brief journey. And it's very wrong to put the elderly away in homes where we don't see them. And it's very wrong for young people always to be with youth and other young people and not be with the aged and talking to them and understanding them and hearing the burdens that come with old age. The presence and testimony of the aged is a loud lesson from God. And the lesson is, number your days. Number your days. If you are 20 years old, seems pretty young, doesn't it? If you are 20 years old, you are 1/4 of the way toward the age of Barzillai. And remember what Moses said in that Psalm 90 when he said, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. He said, the days of a man's life are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet those years are labor and sorrow. If you do live to be 80 years old, you'll know what a burden it is to continue on even with life itself. It will remind you to use the strength of your youth. It will remind you how little strength you'll have in a very little time. Solomon said it in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in that classic poetic description of the old man, of the old woman, whose back is bowed, whose eyes cannot see, whose ears cannot hear, whose keepers tremble, who is afraid of heights. Did you ever watch the very elderly go down the steps, unsure of their footing? Solomon said, I'm painting this picture to remind you, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. You tend to think that that youth will always be there. You're going to be a Barzillai someday if you don't die sooner. Look at the elderly who are among you. Learn from them. The aged are not meant to isolate themselves alone. Oh, but they say, I'm a burden to people. I can't enjoy the social things that other people enjoy anymore. That very fact makes your presence essential. And that very fact is a purpose for living in the midst of the saints of God, to sober them. How a word from an old person can stamp the scripture upon the heart of the young. How a godly old person can encourage the struggling, the person who wonders, can I hold out for another year in serving God? Can I hold out another day without succumbing to temptation to see someone like Barzillai, 80 years old, and still serving God and still fruitful, still having something to do for the Lord? Thank God Barzillai did not quit serving the Lord until he died. Thank God Barzillai did what he could in public and in company with other people until the day that he died. And there is much that is to be done for God. Sometimes those who reach 80 years of age look around them and see that if the young people are not serving their Creator in the days of the youth, the work is left for no one but those who have little strength. That seemed to be the case in the days of our Lord's birth, doesn't it? There weren't too many people who came to worship Christ at his birth, but two of them were old people who served God in the temple. You remember Simeon. You remember Anna in the temple. And what was their great service to the Lord? They looked for the honor and the display of the glory of the Messiah of God, and they prayed. And when the Lord was revealed, they told other people of the glory of the Lord. They were ready to die. Simeon said, Lord, now let me depart in peace. I'm ready to die. I've seen your salvation. But until he died, he told other people the consolation of Israel that had come. There's witnessing to be done by the aged. No, your inability to enjoy life, your failing to enjoy this world anymore, your feeling of burdensomeness, your readiness to die, do not unsuit you for the fellowship of God's people. It suits you to teach all of the people of God sobriety. A chief lesson that we all are to learn. So live out your years in the midst of the saints. And young people, when you see the elderly, you ought to be spending time with them and realizing that you share something with them. There is something sad about seeing a person grow older and lose the strength of his body and know that he must soon die. There is something sad about that, but that sadness is not just about the other person. That sadness is about your life. It's about your life. Because your life will reach the same end if you are fortunate enough to live that long, which most people do not. David deeply appreciated Barzillai. We read in verses 38 and 39 and 40 that Chimham went back to Jerusalem with David. And then no more is said about him here in this passage, but an interesting verse crops up in Jeremiah 49. 1 and verse 17, years and years later, when the Jews have gone into captivity and Jeremiah is being taken as a captive to Egypt, we read that the people who were taking Jeremiah with them were staying temporarily at the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem. When David took Chimham back to Jerusalem, he apparently gave Chimham part of the royal inheritance, part of his own land at Bethlehem itself. And it's recorded that there was a dwelling of Chimham by Bethlehem itself. He did it for Barzillai, whom he appreciated very deeply. There's a great value to the elderly, and we're not meant to try to cheer them into enjoying the world the way the younger people do. That's futile. When you no longer have the senses to enjoy it, the things of this earth grow greatly dim. But to learn from them, to learn from them the vanity of the material world, the brevity of a life that's lived for the material world, so that it will not attract us as a lying deceit. Do not think that their feeling of being burdensome and ready to die is sad and ill-advised, learn that there is godliness connected with it, and may God bless us all as we come across our Barzillai. May they continue to serve the Lord and flourish in their latter days. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father and our God, we pray that you would teach us in our souls to number our days and teach us properly to honor those who are still making a supreme effort in what seems to us the little things to serve the Lord all the days of their life. And grant to us that we may serve our Lord Jesus Christ all the days of our life and do that publicly to the honor of your name. We ask through Christ, our able Savior. Amen.